This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're here with Love Our Proud
with Z and G on Joy 94.9.
And guess who just decided to walk into the studio?
At this time of night.
So thank you so much, Michael Schaefer, for coming down. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for opening the doors. I've just been wandering the streets.
Well, look, yeah, we did see someone meander during that last bit, and we thought, you know, why not? Hey, we thought, you know, we recognised you.
Yeah.
We thought, bring him in. Bring him in for a chat.
See
why not?
What's going on? Yeah.
See what's going on. How's your night been? How's it all going?
It's good. It's good. I just finished work today at the project, which is good.
Nice.
Otherwise, just been chilling. How about you guys?
Great. You know, putting it all together.
It's very rare that we get asked how we've been. I actually appreciate that.
It's just manners, you know?
Yeah. I think now it'll turn into a therapy session. So you might be able to charge us after. I don't know. So are you a Melbourne-based comic? Did you get started in comedy here? Yeah,
I'm a Melbourne boy. But actually, I kind of started comedy in America, strangely enough.
Oh, wow.
I studied on exchange in America 3 years ago. And that's when I really got into comedy.
Really? Really? So where did you exchange to?
Washington, D.C.
D.C. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Wow. So what was the scene like there?
It's actually real good.
Yeah.
Because most people think of American comedy and they're like, well, it's L.A., New York,
yeah,
and Chicago. But D.C. was awesome.
Yeah. Okay. All right. The open mics, the whole scene.
The open mics, and like, it's just weird how there's just like all these like real famous old dudes,
right,
who are like, you know, comedy legends who,
yeah,
just hang around at open mic rooms.
Yeah, and they'll just watch young comics do their thing.
I'm not sure if you know this dude, Tony Woods, but he mentored Chappelle. So he's just like this, you know, kind of like godfather of comedy over there in DC. He just hangs out at all the open mics.
Wow.
And like, you can just go to an open mic and just watch him crush to four people who didn't know comedy was about to happen.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
So what you exchange, what were you studying?
I was there finishing my law degree. So I got, I'm a law grad from Monash Uni.
Oh, wow.
And I came to realize that I was never going to be a lawyer towards the end of my degree. Mm. It just wasn't for me.
Did you finish it though?
I did finish it.
Wow.
The girlfriend and the family made me finish it. And and also, after you finish your degree, to get qualified as a lawyer, you got to do this extra course.
Right. Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
No, paying all that money wasn't enough. No.
Yeah, that's right.
Going all through all that uni. No,
did they include that asterisk beforehand?
No, they did not.
Okay.
And I'm sure there are many law students who have been trying very hard to get out of that loophole.
And where does the bar come into that?
The bar, that's like, that's if you want to be a barrister. That's
right,
a whole different thing.
Okay.
That's if you want to be the guy, you know, in Law and Order who stands in front of the judge and stuff.
Okay, and go boom, boom. No, that's the sound
that's
guy.
The musician.
I guess. Yeah, that's the sound guy.
That guy's he's in the corner of every courtroom just making that noise.
So comedy in DC, wow. So you would have gotten super great experience, I guess, doing, you know, I guess comparing, would you say that an American audience is a lot different to, say, an Australian or Melbourne open mic?
Yeah, it's definitely different. And it's cool, like, particularly in DC, because it's like half white, half black.
Yeah.
So you get to do, like, you know, gigs to, like, completely different demographics. Like,
yeah,
there are
right.
some rooms where it's just, the crowd is just black people.
Yeah.
And so it's so, like, it's a lot of fun, you know, doing, like, stuff that you would never do to a white crowd.
Yeah, that's
you know,
right. Yeah.
So there's a lot more, like, you know, the comedy over there is definitely a lot more, like, race-based because of that. Whereas in Melbourne, like, you know, everyone's just white.
Yeah.
Much.
That's right.
You're doing these inner city gigs. You're just talking to young white people.
So it's
definitely different because you get to perform a different audience.
Okay. Did you move around much and go to any sort of, like, did you have in your head of, like, oh, I want to, you know, get up at the, like, Comedy Store, even though DC's, like, a while away from there, but did you like go to New York and go to the Cellar?
Yeah, I hung out. I went to the Cellar like just a few times and just to watch. And just, it's the best thing ever. Yeah. If you like comedy, it's just the best thing ever. One night, I was really annoyed because I was going to go. There's like three shows a night there.
Okay.
One night, I was going to go to the 7:30 show, and then my friends came along. They're like, oh, we want to go to the 9 o'clock show. So I was like, fine, we'll go to the 9 o'clock show. Anyway, it turns out Louis C.K. And, and Chris Rock dropped into the 7:30 show. Like, oh, I hate you people so much. So we're not friends anymore. But
Grant, that's
no, no,
it makes sense.
Fair call.
Fair enough. Oh, I've lost friendships over less, to be honest. But that was one night. But then, interesting, like I went back like two nights later to see another show.
Yeah.
And as I'm walking there, Chris Rock and Louis C.K. are walking back on the other side of the road. And I'm with a friend of mine, and me and my friend are like, what do we do?
Like,
Chris Rock and Louis C.K. are right there just walking on the street. Like, what do we do?
Yeah.
So my friend's like, oh, we got to follow them.
Okay. Yeah, it could work. It could work. You know, because you don't want to do the immediate, you know, fanboy out on the situation and run over to the cross of the road. Because I mean, you know, and you know, also, yeah, I guess comic to comic as well. You don't want to just be. You want to be seen as equals,
but
as well.
Also,
you know, right?
I've been doing comedy for 3 months, guys. So I'm about on the same level as you.
No,
Lizzie,
but
you're
following
Rock.
Them
but
for too long. The law degree is not going to help him with the police there. I don't know if that's
going to
help.
Yeah, different jurisdiction.
Yeah, exactly right.
So yeah, we followed them for quite a while. And they were on the other side of the road, and we were following them from one side of the road. They were walking on the other side of the road, and we're behind them by about 10 meters, but also, you know, from the other side of the road, just following them. And eventually...
Did you get to, like, pick up any conversation that they were talking about, anything?
We did, we weren't close enough to hear anything, and also we had no plan for what we were going to do eventually.
Yeah.
there was just follow them and just see if anything amazing happens to them, and then we can be there for that. I don't know what the plan was. Like, we didn't have, like, our CVs on us or anything.
No,
it wasn't like...
Yeah, that's right. Here's his script.
But anyway, but they stopped out in front of a restaurant. I think like Chris Rock went inside to, I don't know, do something. I don't know. Something amazing, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course.
And then me and my friend decided, okay, what we'll do is we'll cross the road and we'll say hello to Louis. Because we'll just pretend like we just happened to bump into him.
Yeah,
not that we.
It's a 2v1 at that point. You outnumbered him.
That was the thing as well. Like, we can take him if we need.
You can control the conversation in that way. He doesn't just then, you know, with Chris can then just, you know, have his own conversation with Louis can just have his own conversation with Chris. You know, you were there with your friend, and you can just totally. So were you able to have a conversation with Louis, and how did it go?
So what happened was I went up to him and I said, oh, hi, Louis. I'm a big fan. And he went, oh, thanks. And then we both paused and there was silence between all three of us. And then I was like, so can I have a... I didn't plan anything. I was like, can I have a photo?
Selfie.
He goes, oh, no, I don't do photos. But he's like, but it was nice. He holds out his hand and shakes my hand. He's like, but it was nice to meet you. And as he said that, I was like, oh, thank you. And then Chris Rock came out again. And then we were like, oh, Chris, can we have a photo? And Chris is like, no.
I know.
Of course not.
Yeah. It's that thing of like, I guess, when they're in their own world, they don't want to be... Like,
that's
I
work
guess,
for them,
I guess. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, we're just annoying them. Of course, they don't want a photo.
Yeah, I mean, the best example of that is when we went to go interview Hannibal.
Yeah,
and it didn't quite pan out. We essentially went into a club, and we pretended that we were, you know, going to be interviewing Hannibal
without contacting Hannibal. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But we contacted his opener, and we were getting a he agreed to have an interview.
Yeah,
his opener. Okay.
But we, you know, we knew that they would be hanging out afterwards, so we went to the club that they were at, got in with like, you know, just you know, a bag with
a SingStar microphone.
Yeah, it wasn't a real microphone.
No, it wasn't plugged into anything.
No. But we still got in. Because if it looks real, it's probably real, right?
Sure, but how... Were you going to do the interview there?
See, no, the plan was...
We had no plan. Like,
yeah.
Similar stories.
Yeah. Yeah, we were totally going to do the whole situation of, oh, because it was in a club. We were going to be like, oh... Audio levels aren't right here. Here's our number. Give us a call tomorrow and we'll set it up.
Sure.
But, you know, as I went over to Hannibal, shook his hand, and as soon as he thought that we, you know, as soon as he realized we were media, he was like, yeah, nah, see you later. Get out of the VIP area. We're done. But it was still, you know, that thing of totally understandable in that situation, you know, that it's work mode. And you know they don't want to have to deal with that in that time. You
but
know?
It's that bittersweet of, oh, I just met this cool person.
Exactly.
But I didn't get everything I wanted.
Well, yeah. This is the thing. Even if I got a photo, like, then what? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think whenever you meet a famous person, it's always hollow afterwards.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to go. Everyone thinks, like, I'll meet a famous person and then we'll be friends afterwards, yeah, and we'll hang out, yeah, you know, yeah, once,
yeah,
a week.
Yeah, yeah.
So, no, you meet a famous person, yeah, you get a photo maybe, you get a signature maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
And then you never see each other again.
Again, yeah.
And it's hollow and it's empty.
That's
and
right.
And just the darkness sets in.
That's right. That's right. But still, hey, it was still a good time.
Yeah.
Still fun.
Still a story. Still a story.
Yeah. How long were you in the US for?
Oh, I was there for about 6 months.
6 months. And just going stand up, doing it.
Not yeah, well, yep. First thing was, so I chose subjects that gave me a really good timetable at uni.
Right,
so
nice,
my timetable at uni was Monday 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Okay.
And Tuesday 3 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay.
So from 9 p.m. Tuesday to 7 p.m. Monday,
yep,
I was on weekend.
Nice, okay.
So I just did comedy the whole
time.
Yeah,
the whole time?
Yeah.
Just signing off for spots, just waiting it out.
Just doing the grind.
Yeah, doing it. Nice. So when you came back then... Did you? So that was the first time you did stand up in the US.
Yeah, well, I'd done a few spots in Melbourne, but I wasn't really taking it, you know, seriously because I was busy with other things.
Okay,
and then so then I came back, then I was like, and then I started, you know, doing it really seriously
here,
doing it like every night here as well.
And you felt like having that experience though in the US compared to when you started here, but granted you didn't take it as seriously. Do you think that really gave you more confidence in your stage presence in constructing?
Oh, 100%. I just had so many more gigs under my belt.
Yeah, okay.
And also you're surrounded by some, like, you get to see Tony Woods, like,
yeah,
the week. So you get to see like really good comedians,
yeah,
and you get to see how they do it. So it's just a good place. It's good to kind of be around, you know, those, because in Australia, like in Melbourne, like comedy's, yeah, still so new. It's like all of our idols,
yeah,
are like alive, you know.
Yeah, that's
like,
right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're all like 40.
Yeah, Fleety's still walking around, you know. You'll still see Fleety.
100%.
Yeah, that's right.
So, all of our idols are still quite young, whereas the idols, because stand-up is, you know, much more rooted in the culture back in America, they've,
yeah,
had it for longer.
Yeah.
Their idols are like, you know, their idols are dead.
Dead,
you,
yeah,
know,
yeah,
Mark,
yeah,
Twain, dead. George Carlin, dead.
Richie Pryor, dead.
Dead.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
just you get to kind of be around, like, you know, I guess, more generations of comedy over,
yeah,
there.
We're seeing a Laugh Out Proud
with Z and G
on Joy 94.9. And look, what a boogie that was. We were just having a serious boogie right then.
I thought I was breaking it down, but Michael, you were showing off some of those moves that...
There was some serious moves.
I'm impressed.
There was leg over the other leg, and then there was a hand involved. I don't know. What do you call it? What do you call that move?
That's the worm, I believe.
The worm.
Yeah. Textbook. It was textbook.
Yeah, it was very textbook worm. Very textbook worm. But we were talking about, like, your legends, seeing legends around, and wow. Them being dead, but
so they're always around.
Yeah, that's right. Hey,
I saw to it.
Who are your comedy influences? Who are your legends? Who do you look up to?
I really like, I mean, it's obvious, but like, I'm a Jewish guy, so like Seinfeld, I just grew up watching Seinfeld, David.
Did you watch him on Norm Macdonald live?
No.
Jerry Seinfeld? Dude, watch it totally, like, hard. It's awesome. Because Jerry doesn't do, like, that many interviews, you know. He doesn't do a whole lot of full-length stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's awesome.
Well, I heard he made the interesting comment that Bill Cosby was the best comedian ever.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting how people have freaked out of that comment, because people can't separate
the
raping from
the
comedy.
That's like Woody Allen, you know, like him and his relationship with his daughter. That's the alleged stuff with Woody Allen.
Yeah.
That's right. It's the same, you know, it's the same separation of work, you know.
Well,
it's the same thing with Rolf Harris, you know. All of a sudden everyone decides that Rolf Harris wasn't good at music.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
We all really liked his music at the time before we found
out.
He dusts off the wobble board every now and then. Yeah.
Another example, Elvis.
Yeah?
Elvis?
Who did he sexually offend?
No. His wife, at the time, underage.
Oh,
really?
Underage, yeah.
Jeez, we've looked over that, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly. No, but you know what I'm saying?
About
like
that
that's
song he had. Yeah,
that's you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. The things that how famous? That's someone's bit. That's someone's bit. How famous do you have to be for someone to? Oh, that's he just his latest special was Freedom.
Oh, Jim Jeffries.
Jim Jeffries. That's Jim Jeffries. Well, yeah. How famous do you have to be to forget the separation of material?
Well, I've been working on this idea about how, you know, it's only celebrities that kind of get held to that standard.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, when Rolf Harris, you know, was found to be a pedophile,
yeah,
then everyone went, oh, I don't like his music anymore. Mm. But we don't do that to normal people, you know? Like, when no one's ever like, oh, ever since, I used to love Stacey's Desserts, but ever since she got arrested for theft, I've decided her cakes were always very dry, yeah, actually, right. Now that I think
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But, so, Jerry Seinfeld. Who else?
Larry David.
Larry David.
So good.
Curb's coming out. Come.
Well, I started getting into Stuart Lee. He's not really not a guy I've watched that much, but I started recently getting into him. He's real good.
Yeah.
Mike Birbiglia, Canadian dude.
Yes, yeah, Birbiglia, yeah.
Which is so many good. And, like, in Australia as well, like, guys like Will Anderson.
Will Anderson, you
know, who just
of course,
churn out just great shows every year.
Yeah.
You know, those guys are just amazing to watch just because they create so much content.
Yeah, that's right. Would you put it to Louis of the Louis template of, you know, crunching out an hour every year?
Yeah, well, apparently, I think he popularized that. But yeah. I think, you know, Australian comedians have been doing that every year anyway.
Yeah.
Just because,
yeah, the festival.
Because we've got festival culture.
That's right.
And same thing in the UK. They've got
festival
culture. Yeah. They've got Edinburgh, so they got to have a new show every year.
Yeah.
Is that the approach you've taken?
Yeah, I think so. So I've done, you know, I did a show, Jewish issue at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and now I've got a new show coming out at Melbourne Fringe, so that's actually like a 4-month gap, which is a short amount of time to put a show together.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I've kind of got the same approach, which is we'll just have a new show every 12 months.
Right.
Because then you're always getting better.
Yeah, that's right. Always
that
owning.
Pressure, yeah.
Yeah, always. So that means, you know, you're always out on the open mic scene or on the, you know, doing the sets, always doing it. How many times a week are you doing the sets?
I gig like pretty much every night of the week.
Every night of the week.
And, you know, usually a couple of times a night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's, you know, it's kind of, you just got to be doing that. It's all about stage time. You kind of write something and then you try it on stage and then it's terrible and then you have to go back and rewrite it.
And are you the sort of person that will sort of work out a punchline yourself beforehand, or will you try and find that, you know, you'll have a half-baked idea and bring it up on stage and then sort of work out a punchline in that? Or were you...
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a good mix. I mean, I like to have things pretty much written before I go on stage.
Yeah,
I don't like to go on there. I feel like if I go on there and then I try to find a punchline, just nothing happens. And it's just me grasping.
yeah.
Just on stage, just for anything.
Which can be fun to watch.
Yeah, it's great to watch if you're another comedian.
Yeah.
and you enjoy watching your...
Yeah, I'm stand still.
Yeah. No,
and you enjoy watching your colleagues, you know, fail. That's great. But if you're a person who's come to watch comedy and you're a punter,
paid.
They want to see comedy. So yeah, I try to, you know, pretty much have a beginning, middle, and end for all my bits.
Okay. So when and of course now you do work for the project. So in that writing style, so what are you always going away and thinking of? I mean, I guess the project's always topical, so it's always, so you're always keeping up to date with news, with everything like that. So are you always just running topical bits in your head of what can we do, what can we, you know, bring, what can I bring tomorrow to work? Is that...
Well, we kind of turn up and, like, in the morning we'll find out, like, what the show's going to be discussing that day.
Okay.
So you kind of find out in the morning what you're going to be writing about that day, and then you just spend all day writing as many gags and angles or whatever on it. So, but it's interesting how, like, that's so different to my stand-up. So my stand-up is not... I don't do it on topical stuff because I find the next day it's not funny. So there's kind of almost no real overlap between the content I write for the project and the stuff I do on stage.
Do you find that hard to divide yourself creatively?
Yeah, it's definitely like you're writing all... It's funny because you sit down, you write all this stuff for the show and, you know, so much of it won't get used because there isn't enough time, obviously.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I wrote stuff that I think is real good and just it'll never see the light of day because I'm not going to use it myself.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but I guess that's the way it is. It's a good writing exercise. Like, it makes you write far. I think that's why I've been able to kind of, get a new show in a matter of a few months. It's just because I've gotten so used to just churning out.
Yeah.
You become a bit of a comedy robot a little bit, you know, you go in and you're like, okay, this is the premise. I need to write as many jokes on this topic as I can.
Yeah.
So it actually, it's really good training.
Do you get to choose who you're writing for at any point, or are you just writing for a bit and it's... that topic, that segment, it exists, or you go, no, this person's saying this, I want this, the conversation to go this way.
Yeah, it varies. So sometimes, you know, you'll be told, okay, we need to write some jokes on this, you know, topic, and we need a specific joke at this moment. You know, so it can be really, really niche. It's like this tiny little target you got to hit at this moment in the script. So sometimes that kind of, it's that specific, but sometimes it's just, we've got this topic, they're going to be chatting about this, you know, write some ideas, some jokes for it. And that, when you do that, you know, you kind of have different people's different voices in mind.
Yeah.
And because the cast are really, really funny themselves, often they'll just bring their own stuff and then they'll be funny anyway. But often, you know, you can think of what their voice would be and how they might say something.
Yeah, that voice. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and everyone's different. Like, you know, you write for Pete, you write for Wiley, you write for Carrie, and then there's a fourth person. So, and everyone's got a different voice. And so, it's definitely, it's a good challenge.
How big is the staff of writers?
We've got about five writers in. Wow. I think five or six writers in per day. I can't remember. I should know that. You should know how many people are in the room.
Yes.
I think there's six writers in like full time, pretty much there every day. So there'll be six of us in every day, kind of writing stuff for the show.
Right.
Of course, there's also then a bunch of other producers and associate producers who do so much, you know, hard work, you know. You know, fact checking things and
working out
what the story is. Yeah, so that's interesting thing writing, you know, for a news show is that you got to also, you can't defame anyone.
No, that's right. Yeah, yeah. You got to be super on point with what you're saying in that joke. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so there have been times where you write something like, you think this is great, but then legally we can't say that because it's
false. Do you ever try and push on anything? Is there any ever, or is it just super like, you know, the note that you take from legal is what you have to take, and that's it.
Like, do you ever submit something knowing it's going to get knocked back and just be like, oh, if it gets through, that's awesome, but I doubt it?
I've definitely put things down, and I'm like, well, you know, if it goes to where it goes to.
Has anything snuck through?
I think maybe once. Well, nothing that we got in trouble for.
No.
But definitely, stuff that kind of like snuck through, and then we were like, maybe next time.
Okay, yeah.
Or sometimes, sometimes we will record like the promos for the show, like during the day before, you know, leading up to the show. So sometimes we'll record a promo that was like, and then the lawyer will be like, I don't think that fits our PG time slot, actually. There's too much sex in that one. So like that's happened before where, you know, you tried to do something and then they're like, oh, we'll have to do another take of that.
Yeah, okay.
But it's interesting because then you go on stand up and you just, and it's very liberating. Then you go onto stage and you're like, I can say whatever I want.
Yeah,
like, who cares? Who cares who I offend?
Do you get a bit like that in your show that you've got coming up? Do you feel like you let a little bit of that out in this show?
Do you know what's interesting? I think working at the project, and maybe just I'm a bit older or whatever, I've started to realize how there are a lot of really stupid people out there in the world.
Yeah.
Particularly because a lot of them will write into the show, for example.
So there's a lot of
I've been exposed to a lot more stupidity being at the show because you know, it's a show for, you know, the whole of Australia.
Yes. Yeah.
And not everyone in the whole of Australia is capable of rational thought.
Yes.
And those people will often write to the show and voice terrible opinions.
It's funny how it's always those ones who have the time to do that.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah, it's they're just typing away at their keyboard all day.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're high powered jobs, I'm sure. Yeah. No, but because of that, I think that I think if I look at like the show that I've got, a lot of it is kind of being quite frustrated with the ignorance and stupidity that's out there.
Okay.
And I think I've only become exposed to the ignorance and stupidity because, you know, I'm working on this show now.
So do you feel you find so the new show Kosher Bacon, do you think it brings a little bit more bitterness to it? Is there a little bit more?
Yeah, I'm not sure of bitterness, but it's just more like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Just be better.
Just, act right. Yeah.
Yeah, just don't be so stupid. So I think a bit of it is that. Look, the show's called Kosher Bacon. It's actually a show about things that don't make sense. And so, and that's the kind of theme to the show. And that's Kosher Bacon. It's kind of, you know, I just thought it was a great contradiction to kind of just set that point up. So that's the theme of the show. And so a lot of the show is just me kind of like looking at just the opinions that people will hold about things that make no sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And just breaking them down.
Just knocking them down.
Yeah.
And explaining why they make no sense.
Yeah.
To a crowd that already agrees with me. So
you got a loving audience there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But thank you so much for coming on down. We appreciate it. Can people catch you on the Facebooks, on the Twitters?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook and Twitter, Michael Schaefer. And come along to the show. Follow me on the Facebook and the Twitter. Yeah.
And look out for, I'm sure you get you'd love it every night at the project, watching the credits run and see your name, right?
Like, oh, we don't get that. They don't run credits.
Really?
I know. My first day, I was like, oh, this is sick. My name's gonna be.
Yeah. I've been taking a photo of it every show.
yeah, exactly.
At the end of the show, I was waiting for it, but they don't run the credits because they've got such a tight turnaround. They got to go straight into the Bachelor or whatever
it is.
Bachelor, that's right.
And they get bloody credits. Oh God. Okay. Yeah. Anyway,
that's reality. They don't have writers. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah. Well, don't break the illusion too much.
No.
But thank you so much again, Michael. We appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.